The Game 5 edition of Celtics Tonight, presented by Momcast, continues with our conversation with the head coach. It's sort of funny to fans, a game like Monday's, I think, feels worse than it really is because of the score the whole game. And fans, I think, psychologically are affected by the score. I asked Max if the way the second half went has an effect on the series, meaning if it's another 30-point loss or if it's a competitive game in the fourth quarter. Knowing you have to be better tonight, obviously, the things you saw in the second half, really the final three quarters, does it make you feel a little better, certainly, than you would have coming into Game 5?
Well, I don't really get too caught up in it because every game's its own entity, and there are certain things that put you in a hole, like the other night. You know, the most obvious to me being our offensive inefficiencies and our transition defense. And, you know, we just have to play better in those areas. You think back to games one and two, how many layups did the Cavs get in transition? You can count them on one hand in two games. And, you know, they had 10 points in transition right out of the gate yesterday. We just have to be a lot better than that. We have to be more connected on offense. We have to play better together. And, you know, sometimes it does come down to, like, when you do have your opportunity, you got to take advantage of it, whether it's at the rim or whether it's a loose ball or, you know, open shot, whatever the case may be. But that's basketball. I mean, and that's why all you're trying to do is control what you can control so that you increase your margin for error.
All right, my note for the second one literally was offensive inefficiency. There are two elements you've talked about all year when there has been offensive inefficiency: rushing a little bit and trying to hit home runs. Mm-hmm. Can we tie those two things together a little bit? Are they sort of connected to each other?
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what? I think it's one of our greatest strengths as a team is our competitive makeup, our DNA to compete, to grit our teeth, to get through anything. And at times that can also lead to trying to hit home runs because you want to do well so bad. And I think that's – I'd much rather have that issue than being too passive. And we don't have that problem. Our guys are tough. They're competitors. And that is probably not all that unusual for young guys that are this competitive as this group is.
Something else worth revisiting, should it happen again here tonight or, you know, in games coming up. There was moderate to significant foul trouble. And obviously you handle things a little differently than other coaches do when there is foul trouble. And this actually goes back to when you played, doesn't it?
It does. You know, and we're going to have to manage that better. Some of it we'll try to pre-manage tonight a little bit by mixing up matchups and those type of things at the early stages of the game especially. And I thought we did a better job of that in the second half. But, yeah, it goes back. I remember, you know, you'd get your second foul and you'd look over the bench early in the first half and you'd be like, oh, I don't want to come out. I can manage without. I can still play hard and play the right way. But inevitably, I probably wasn't smart enough and I would have gotten my third or fourth in the first half and I had to come out. Well, here you get six. You know, it's a little bit different than college where you only get five and guys learn how to play with their hands back. You know, there may be a situation or two where you just can't avoid a foul and so be it. But guys generally are able to manage foul trouble while still playing at the appropriate level of aggressiveness.
Bigger picture here, and Jeff Van Gundy, who we've, you know, going to see obviously these last couple of weeks, who's been around, talks about this quite a bit. It kind of invokes, I guess, that illusion, the idea that the 45th minute or the 47th minute of the game is more significant than any other minute in any other quarter.
Well, and Jeff, and I've had long sit-down conversations with Jeff about this because I really – one of the things I like most about Jeff is that just because someone says it or it becomes like a rallying cry of everyone, he's not going to make that conclusion without looking at it himself. And he takes a great deal of time and thoughtfulness to look at and say, okay, why are we doing this? Are we doing it as a reaction to criticism, or are we doing it because we think it's the right thing to do? And I think that's, you know, part of that is it becomes such a, like, given that you're going to take guys out with foul trouble that, you know, maybe there is a little bit of us in coaching that decide, hey, we've got to take them out because that's what everybody else does, instead of just saying, hey, you know, if we foul out, we foul out and we move on. And, you know, Jeff is the one that I first heard talk about that, and, you know, it made me think a lot. We had a player at Butler who was probably, you know, he's one of the winningest players at Butler. He's certainly the best four-year player to ever play there, Matt Howard. And he was in foul trouble quite a bit, and it was quite a tough thing because he was wired, like, smart as far as, like, he was really aggressive. Yeah. And I'll never forget, he had his second foul in a game. I put him back in, and a guy got free and got loose and went to the rim, and he clobbered him. I said, Matt, what are you – you knew you had two. He goes, I couldn't just let him go. it's not who I am. And so I, from that point on, I had to take him out with two fouls. Yeah,
some there's an element of the scorpion and the frog, right? You got to know you got to know somebody's nature.
That's right.
A lot made, speaking of things that people are talking about a lot that you can't just react to, a lot made of Terry getting switched on LeBron, particularly in Game 4. But is that really where they did a lot of their damage over the last two games?
Well, they certainly did more damage in Game 4 than they had in the first three in that matchup. And I think that there's no question. There's a big difference between when LeBron's using a pick and roll and when he's setting a pick and roll. There's numbers attached to all those things. He sets it often for guards. Oftentimes he's seeking out who he wants to get the switch. But in those situations, we're doing a lot of scrambling out of the post, and we've done it very well from a number standpoint. You know, where we've got to be careful is when LeBron gets the ball deep in the post on Terry. That's a problem. You know, but that, and in all sincerity, that's a problem against most everyone.
In the world.
And in the world.
Who's ever played.
So we have to manage that accordingly and try to avoid that particular situation. There's going to be times where Terry's on him, and Terry's going to make it as tough as he can. And you know what? Terry's a competitor. He's going to get up there. He's going to guard him. He's going to do everything he needs to do. And if he hits a fadeaway from 18 feet, then good shot.
Speaking of fadeaways from 18 feet, and this is we'll wrap it up with this. Did you watch the Rockets and Warriors last night? Not as a coach that has an X percent chance. This was the question. Not as a coach that has a whatever percent chance of being engaged with one of them, but as a fan or just a human being that wants to be entertained by that.
You know what happened with me last night? We got home at 3 in the morning the night before, as you well know.
Got up early with my kids.
Worked all day, got ready for this game tonight, turned the TV on, and crashed. And so, no, I got a great night's sleep instead, which I felt like was a little bit more important tonight.
See, that's your nature. That's your scorpion in the frog.
There you go.
Game 5 next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.